Let's pray. Father, you are so good. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for demonstrating. You don't just talk a good game, but you demonstrate your love for us by sending Jesus. Lord, would you bless us with your presence today? Would our hearts and our minds and our voices please you today? We lift high the name of Jesus. We invite you to send your Holy Spirit in this place. Surprise us, God. Surprise us with your presence. Surprise us with what you do with us and in us and through us. We pray it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to rise if you are able as we worship.
And it's good to see you this morning, church. I told the first service I cannot even express how thankful I am for each and every one of you for this church. What an amazing, amazing gift from God that we have to have the community of believers, to support one another, to pray for one another, and just encourage one another with the love of God that flows through us. I'm also thankful this morning, the youth praise team's helping us out this morning. And it's a fun day, so we're just going to get right after. We got a lot of good things happening this morning, so let's continue in worship. I've wandered so aimless, life is a sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Well, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Well, praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I can't call my own. Then like a blind man, then God came back in sight. Well, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Well, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander astray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Well, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Well, praise. All right, everybody, children included, go ahead and be seated. Stay where you are just for a second.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning,
good morning Arliss. I don't know how I let this happen to me year after year, but October snuck up on me again. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. So fortunately, I came to my senses towards the end of the month, and I thought I would just take a second to give us the opportunity to say thank you to the team of servants that looks after this church so well. So if you all are here when I call your name, if you would please come on up to the front to give everybody a chance to say thanks. Is Terry Wright and Arliss Wright still in the building this morning? Oh, Arliss is in the back. He's staying put. Billy Krim and Carlene Krim. Is Teresa Sauve still in the building? How about Linda Higginbotham?
She's still out of town.
She's still out of town. And Brent Aiken. Is Shauna Johnson here? How about Kevin Crowder? And Jamie Adams? Miss Naomi Wood? How about Cody Bretherton? Larry and Brenda Harner? And Pastor Jeff Hatcher. I don't know about you all, but I am grateful for these people. We kicked around several ideas to try to honor them, and we came up with something that I hope was after their hearts. We did a little collection, and we were able to sponsor 30 Gideon's Bibles that are going to be placed here and there to help get the Word of God out. So if you'll join me in a word of prayer, please. Father God, I thank you for this team of servants that you have assembled here in this church. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for their hands. I pray that you would multiply the work of their hands to continue to bless your kingdom. Father, I ask that you grant them strength, that you grant them courage to stand on your word. And Father, help us through the days ahead to be a mighty force in your ministry. It's in your name we pray. Amen. From the Gideon.
Well, I'm thankful for the Lord, but I'm thankful for you guys. Man, I tell people all the time what an awesome church you are. And you know, not every pastor will say that, can say that about their church. You guys are special. And I'm also very thankful for this team that was up here, this ministry team. Man, I tell you, it doesn't get done without this team and without you guys. So we're just really grateful. It's good to be in this place, and it's good to be part of this fellowship. I want to call up Tom and Debbie Day, and also Amanda Anderson. Come on up. And if y'all want to bring anybody with you that wants to come up, come on up. And they're doing this. Come on. I'm excited about this family, man. This is y'all's third week. If y'all will just come, I'm going to come down to y'all in just a second. RJ, man. He's like the neighborhood recruiter, man. I mean, you're better than like Uncle Sam. Their connection has been with RJ and Phyllis for many years, and they moved back to town, and so we're excited he invited them to church. And so Tom and Debbie, raise your hand. Tom and Debbie, they come today to join our church, but also to publicly, they are believers in Christ, but they are publicly professing that today. Debbie was baptized as an infant. We're going to confirm that baptism with a public profession of faith this morning. And Tom is going to be baptized through sprinkling. And then Amanda's mom, Amanda is your mom, Justice, is going to be immersed at the end of the service. Yes. So I'm going to come out here, and I'm going to come out this way so that everybody can see y'all. Okay, so you three, y'all come to support these guys, and we're appreciative of that. So I ask you three, you're publicly professing your faith in Christ, and we talked about these things. So I ask you now, do you confess that you are a sinner?
Yes.
You want Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
And you want to receive him as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. And so we're going to confirm what you just did and what was done for you as an infant, and we're going to sprinkle you in baptism. If y'all can scooch just a little bit and let me get to this right here. Tom, if you can kneel right there, and you guys, y'all want to come around here with him? Talked about with all three of y'all, we talked about how much Jesus loves you and how he has proven that through his son Jesus. So Tom and the In the name of Jesus, Tom, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, will you come and send your Holy Spirit into Tom? Would you, Father, would you, your word says that you make him a new creation, that you fill him with your Spirit. Father, would this be a life-transforming, a life-changing moment for Tom? In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes. In justice, we will do your baptism at the end, but I want to pray a prayer of confirmation over you, okay? Father, I thank you that you died on a cross for these three. I thank you for Debbie. I just pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would, Father, I thank you that she has publicly proclaimed and professed that you are Lord, that she believes in you, that she has turned her life over to you. Would you fill her with your Holy Spirit? Would you, Father, again, would this be a new day, a new moment in her life, that she would be a new creation in Christ Jesus? Thank you for this family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. Children, you guys come forward and join Miss Carlene up front.
Hello, I'm on. There you go. How's everybody this morning? Good. All right. I'm excited that you're here. Are you excited to be here today? Yes. All right. Let me take my lid off my bowl. I had to put my lid on there. Well, you're going to find out. Okay. All right. No, we won't go to the playground today. Okay. We'll go to class. Okay. You are? All right. Today is the best day. All right. Well, this morning, I'm excited to be here. Are you excited to be here?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So this morning, I have a couple of things with me. I have sponges, and I also have
water.
That's right. Well, you're going to find out. You're going to find out, okay? And then, of course, I have a rag in case I spill the water, right? I'll try not to spill the water, so... This is a weird day? Oh, I think it's going to be a good day. So our sponges, they're kind of hard, right? They're not very useful, right? They're not very good. They're just, you can't really do anything with them because they're just really hard. Right. You can use them for several things. But what happens when you put a dry sponge in water? It goes squishy, right? It gets wet. Yeah, so I'm going to put my dry sponge in there, okay? And it fills up, doesn't it? So it fills up with water.
Now it's squishy.
Now it's squishy, and you can use it. And do things with it. It's soft and smooth, and it feels really good. Because a hard sponge doesn't feel very good, does it? Yeah, so you want... Do what? No, we're not going to do this. I want to save one hard one, okay? Because I want to show you what the difference is. Not right now. I'll let you feel it in a minute, okay? Show you what the difference is, okay? So we have a hard sponge, which you really can't do a whole lot. And then we have a dry... And then we have a wet sponge that's been filled with something, right? And you can do all kinds of things because it's wet, right? All right. Well, I got to thinking, guess what? We're kind of like a dry sponge. Have you ever thought yourself as a sponge?
Yeah.
No? Yeah. I know. Yeah. So we are kind of like a dry sponge, and we need something to fill us up. Do you know what fills us up? God does. Your water does fill us up. You're absolutely right. But who fills us up? God does. That's right. God fills us up just like the water filled up this sponge, right? So if this is us, and this is Jesus, is he going to fill us up? Is he going to change us? Is he going to make us new? Is he going to make us more to do more things and to do good works and all of that? Yeah. So, you know, when we ask God to, when we accept Jesus and he comes into our lives, there's a change that happens on the inside, right? We get filled up with God's love and his forgiveness and his grace and his truth. And we are changed into something that is going to be used by him. He's got a plan for each one of you, right? So, and he doesn't want you to be this dry sponge, right? He wants to use you, so he wants to fill you up so you can be used. So when we think about this, do you want to be the dry sponge? Or do you want to be filled with Jesus?
Filled with Jesus.
That's right. So when we do things and we accept Jesus, we are filled with his love and truth. And it says in Matthew 5:6, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," which is God's love and grace, "and they will be filled." So we need to seek after God and want the things that God wants for us. He wants us to love others. He wants us to be kind. He wants to share. He wants us to tell others about Jesus. Do you tell others about Jesus? So do you think you would tell others, if you were a dry sponge, would you tell others about Jesus if you were just a dry sponge? But if you were filled with Jesus' love, would you want to tell others about how exciting it is to be filled with Jesus? Yes. So let's try to be a filled sponge this week. Can y'all do that? All right. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you fill us and that we can be filled with your love and your truth and your grace and your power to live each day for you, Lord. I thank you for these boys and girls, and I thank you that they can learn to walk faithfully with you, Lord, each day, Lord. We thank you for their families and just bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go that way. Okay. All right. Can you carry this for me, Miss Olivia? Thank you. Hey, Will. All right, y'all ready? Let's go. Okay, let's go. Okay, they got plans. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Great to see you this morning. For those of you worshiping online, God bless you. I pray you feel his presence this day. I want to encourage you to register your attendance through our app. That would be helpful. Trunk or Treat yesterday, I think, was a smashing success. If you were here yesterday, raise your hand. Do you agree? Yeah, everybody agreed. Lots of people came through. We have a drone video I'm going to show you in a little bit, or Lee's got it queued up. I think we ended up with like 53,000 pieces of candy. And so church, thanks so much for stepping up. Thanks for donating financially to that cause. We're actually going to be able to give some of that to Fountain Gate Fellowship this afternoon for their Trunk or Treat event. And just a sea of humanity for 2 solid hours. So, Lee, go ahead and play that video. Thanks, sir. And for most of the day, we had people lined up in front of the church all the way to the end, just waiting their turn to come through. And you know what a great opportunity it was just to love on people in Jesus' name, give them a safe place to come. And I think God will honor that. Operation Christmas Child, I want to encourage you to continue to pack your shoe boxes. Our goal is 450, 250 physical boxes, 200 boxes that can be packed online. There's an insert in your bulletin that has a QR code that'll take you to that site to pack your box or boxes. And our collection week is the 14th through the 21st, so we'll need to have those back during that particular week. There's also an insert in your bulletin about a pancake fundraiser this Wednesday night. It's a fundraiser for the fourth and fifth grade who are going to Superstart, the Superstart Conference in February, which is really an awesome event. This is our sixth or seventh year to participate in that. So all the details are on the insert. Please come and support that. That fundraising, pancake fundraiser, will be in lieu of our normal Wednesday night meal. Women's Encounter Night is the 8th of November. Ladies, there's plenty of time to sign up for that. You can do that either through our app, through our website. You can also sign up physically. There's an insert in your bulletin about that as well. Let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. You know, as we pray this morning, I want to pray for those who came yesterday to our event, our Trunk or Treat event. You know, we were praying as a staff that people would sense the Lord's presence when they got on our property. You know, we've had a number of people say they walk in this building and they can feel the Lord's presence. And I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit's not confined to a building. And so we were praying that as they walked on our property, that people would just feel his presence and that they would be changed. So I want to pray into that this morning and pray for our community as well. So let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you for opportunities to love people in the name of Jesus on his behalf. And Lord, we can do that so uniquely sometimes, and I believe yesterday was one of those times that maybe just through a kind word of God bless you, a smile. Lord, I just pray that everybody that was here yesterday, God, I think you might have started something in them. And so, Lord, I pray that you bring that to completion. We may not see that here. That may not happen for several years, God, but I pray that whatever you started yesterday in the hearts of people, God, would you fulfill that? Would you bring that to completion? Lord, and I pray for a harvest of souls to come out of that event yesterday. And Lord, we could have just passed out candy in our name and nothing would take place, but when we do that in Jesus' name, something happens. So Lord, just move in power. God, I pray blessings over our community, Lord. Those that are broken, those that are hurting, I pray, God, that they know without a doubt that you are kind and that Jesus loves them. Lord, I just pray for revival to break out in our community. And Lord, I thank you for opportunities we have as Wiley Methodist Church to participate in that. And so, Lord, give us fresh boldness, give us fresh vision. Lord, stir us individually. Father, if we're not where we need to be, move us that direction and use this church for your glory. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you that we can be together and worship in the name of Jesus. I pray you bless our pastor as he shares the word, talks about these non-negotiables. Oh,
Lord, I just pray that those things are burnt deeply on our hearts this morning. And we give you the praise and glory for it, and we pray the prayer that you, Jesus, taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll remind you after the service, we'll have several people up front. Robert, Debbie Mills will be here for prayer. Please don't leave this place without being prayed for. Also, our giving opportunities, we have offering boxes by each door. You can also give electronically. God bless you.
song we could ever sing.
Jesus, the name above.
Good morning again. You feel the Holy Spirit this morning? Glad that you do. Glad that you are here, and glad you feel the Holy Spirit. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. I hope you do feel the love of the Holy Spirit and the love of His people. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest registration with a blue stripe, and would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but you know, it's okay if you want to fly under the radar. That's okay, but we would like to know who you are, because we would like to love on you. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer and would love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guests as well. Before I get into the sermon, I wanted to remind you early voting has started. I hope that you will vote. I will not be here on the 8th, so I did early voting this week over at the mall, and you got that. There it is. Now look, right over my shoulders are two of our members, Danny and Ann Dunn. I saw seven people from our church there, maybe 10 minutes to vote. I saw seven people from our church in line. So way to go, guys. Okay, that's enough of that. So I encourage you to vote, and I encourage you to pray and ask the Lord to show you His heart for all these different issues and all these different candidates. And y'all know where I stand on life. I've made that very clear. I hope you stand there with me. So Jude is one chapter. So just turn to Jude. As we read the first four verses of this book, he will introduce himself as the brother of James, Jude, the brother of James. But guess what? James is the brother, I guess the half-brother of Jesus. So that makes Jude a half-brother of Jesus as well. I think we don't know for sure, but I think it's humility that keeps him from stating that in this letter. That's just a theory. All right, Jude, verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. I think he's talking to us, church. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Did everybody hear that part? He's writing about this faith for them to contend for it once and all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our sovereign and Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and you are indeed welcome here. We ask you now to speak. Speak in power and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody remember? It's kind of an obscure day, July the 4th, 1776. Does anybody remember what happened on that day? 56 men came together in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to affirm some fundamental core beliefs as they were founding this new nation. Cheryl and I got an opportunity to go to Philadelphia a few years ago, and got to go to Liberty Hall and got to see the chair that George Washington sat in, the actual chair they sat in. That was really cool. An amazing thing. So as these men are founding, they wanted to declare something that was foundational to this new nation that was being birthed. And here's the first couple of sentences from what they had to say. We hold these truths, which they obviously saw that there was truth. There was truth, therefore there's non-truth. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. So obviously, they knew that those truths, those rights, came from a Creator. With certain unalienable rights, among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So, foundational truths as they're establishing this nation. They wanted to make sure that people knew these truths as they formed this nation. Well, around in the first recording, this Apostles' Creed that we just recited today, the first document that, from what I could read, the first documented time of the early creed was about 180 AD. So that we're talking about disciples of the disciples that had been taught these things from the very ones who saw, that were eyewitnesses. And there were a lot of heresies going around. Gnosticism, which says that salvation comes from knowledge. There's all these heresies going around, and the early disciples, apostles, they wanted to establish these truths, that these foundations that you could place the church on. Faithful Christians, as I've said in my email this week, faithful Christians can disagree about many things, but there are some that are non-negotiable. There's some truths that are non-negotiable. We can disagree about, I like contemporary music, I like hymns. We can disagree about the color of carpet. We can disagree about, you know, all sorts of different things. But there are some things that for me and for these early disciples that are non-negotiable. I mean, if you are a Christian, these are foundational truths that we found our faith on. So that's today's message is non-negotiables. So a word that's kind of getting thrown around quite a bit as our denomination has gone through its struggle is orthodox. That the orthodox Christians are leaving and forming another denomination. So let's talk about that word for just a second. Orthodox meaning adhering to the accepted and traditional and established faith. Meaning what Christians have believed for some 2,000 years, that's orthodox. We're going to continue to believe what has been taught and believed by centuries of Christians. And also adhering to the Christian faith as expressed in the early Christian ecumenical creeds. One of those is the Apostles' Creed, which I said was first recorded around 180. There's another creed that we say sometimes, the Nicene Creed, was around 325 was when that creed was developed. And again, it was early founding fathers that wanted to make truthful statements, orthodox statements about the faith that were foundational, that were non-negotiable. Okay? So we're going to hit that just a few things, and we're going to look at the Apostles' Creed a little bit closer. Now, I want you to know that as we go down through these kind of non-negotiable things, there's more than these. This is just what the Apostles' Creed addresses very clearly. Okay, first one is non-negotiable. We believe God is creator and we are his masterpiece. God is creator and we are his masterpiece. The first sentence says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And so Romans says it this way in Romans chapter 1. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen. What he's saying is, open your eyes and just look around. Just open your eyes and look around. God is everywhere. Life doesn't come from nothing. I won't go there. So it's been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. I was telling the early service, I forget who it is, it might have been C.S. Lewis, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I was saying, in West Texas, we got these long stretches of road, especially if you head out west and you're going down I-20, you got these long stretches of road where it's just tumbleweeds and cactus for miles and miles and miles and miles. Anybody ever drove down that same road? And as you're driving and you see a structure on the side of the road, it could be old, it could be new or whatever, and you see something on the side of the road, we don't automatically, it seems like, you know, I think that just fell out of the sky someday. I don't know how that got there. We see a structure and we go, somebody built that. Somebody's been here before me. They've built that. So Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen. Open our eyes. God is creator, and this is what's so cool, is that we are his masterpiece. He in creation, in Genesis, we read about he created all these things. He separated the stars from the sky and the water from the land, and he created plants and animals and all these different things. And he said, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then he comes to when he creates us, and he says, it's very good. It's very good. We are created in his image. Ephesians 2 says it this way. We are God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus. Do you feel that way sometimes or not feel that way sometimes about yourself? We'll get there. God is creator and we are his masterpiece. Secondly, a non-negotiable. We believe that Jesus is God in the flesh and we are saved through faith in him. It's non-negotiable. I mean, if you are a Christian, that's not something that we can decide in a business meeting that we're going to think differently. I mean, people can believe anything they want to, but if we are the church, if we are Christians, that's a foundational truth. So many times, and I was visiting with Justice. By the way, Justice, I'm sorry I called you your mom's name earlier, but I was visiting with Justice about this when we're going to baptize her in just a little bit. And one of the things that I like to share with people coming to that place and decision for Christ is that God's standard is up here and we're somewhere down here, and our good works, we're trying to climb and make our way up to God, and we'll never make it. We can't do enough good things. We can't be good enough. And here's the good news. We don't have to be. Jesus reached down to us. He reached down to us through Jesus. He became flesh. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, Logos, this meaning the divine nature, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. And then it says, the Word, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. He stepped down to us. That's a non-negotiable, church. It doesn't matter if someone has church attached to the end of their name on their sign out in front. If they don't believe that, they're not the church. I'm just saying. This passage from the Apostles' Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. If someone, I've heard this myself with my own ears, in a Christian university, a religious life, the head of a religious life department told me flat out, I'm not sure Jesus was crucified. I've read where we have had pastors and bishops that have said, the virgin birth, that's just a story. It's just a story. No, they're foundational truths. If we don't believe those things, then we're something else. We're not the church. It's okay. You can believe that if you want, but you're not the church. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. In 180 A.D., the early Christian apostles were kind of going, we need to set this platform, this floor, and say, this is what we believe. If you're the church, if you're a Christian, this is foundational. In Matthew, the angel said, Joseph, son of David, we do not want you to be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I want you to name him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. And he said, all this took place to fulfill what the prophet said. And he's speaking back to Isaiah chapter 7, where he says, the virgin, it's not every day virgins have babies. That's a kind of miraculous thing. I don't know if anybody else noticed that. The virgin, this was hundreds of years before Christ. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Do you believe in miracles? Then we can believe in the virgin birth. We can believe that dead and lifeless people can come back to life through the power of, if we believe in miracles. I tell people that all the time with marriages. You think your marriage is dead and lifeless? I got good news. We have a God that he specializes in miracles. He's a God of resurrection. Acts chapter 4, salvation is found in no one else. Are we the church? Salvation is found in no one else. Well, first we have to decide if we believe this. I mean, that's a given. We have to decide if we believe that. If we believe this, then this says salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It doesn't say that we might be saved or we should be saved or we could be saved. It must be saved, which means we're lost. We need a Savior. Man, if only we had a Savior that came down miraculously, that was really God in the flesh. I mean, that's what I need. Oh, that's what we have. Sound foundational, non-negotiable. Number three, non-negotiable. We believe. Believers are empowered by the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Jesus, as we already saw that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do ministry. He was empowered by the Spirit to go to the cross. He was empowered by the Spirit to be resurrected and all those things. And then as he's preparing to go back to the Father, did you know that he'd already been there? He goes back to the Father. It wasn't a new trip for him. He knew the way. He says this as he's preparing to return to the Father. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Anybody else besides me need power? I mean, for life, just for like today and tomorrow and this week. It's the things we face in life. I'm not going to embarrass him, but I didn't have his permission, but I'm going to chance it. Dennis, glad you're here today, my friend. Yeah. Linda, glad you're here today. Both of them buried loved ones this week. And Dennis's son also received a new heart the next day. And he's walking. His son is walking. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit, church, because this life is hard. It's hard. And Jesus didn't pull any punches. He said, this life's hard. But I've overcome the world. I'm sending you power. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Church, we have the gift that the world needs. His name is Jesus. And he gives us the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, go share that. Go share that. And Jesus goes on to say in John 14, the world cannot accept the Spirit of truth. Boy, that's the truth. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you, church, you Christians, you know him, for he lives with you and in you. The Holy Spirit himself, God himself. What an honor. What an honor to have God, his Spirit, living and residing inside of us to empower us to walk out our faith. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, it doesn't mean we don't have bad days. Yes, we have bad days. We have bad moments and we all do. But by and large, we should consistently be oozing Jesus. We should be oozing the Spirit. Joy, love, joy, peace, all of it. We believers are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he lives inside of us. Fourth, non-negotiable. We believe there is one universal church, and this last part's important. Founded on Christ. Founded in Christ. So here's the problem, and I don't say this in a judgmental way. I mean, it's just the way I see, the way the early apostles saw it, the way I see it today, just having church in on your sign, if it's not founded on Christ, it's not the church. Just a name on a sign doesn't make it a church, and I've said this so many times, but standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. I didn't write that, but I use it quite often. There is one universal church founded in Christ. If someone who calls themselves the church doesn't profess Christ, it's not the church. It's something else. I don't know what it is, but it's something else. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and the people have been stirring, and he's been doing all these miracles and everything, and Jesus says to them, who do the people say that I am? And they start giving him all these answers that they've heard. And then he turns it on them. He flips it on them. He says, no, who do you say that I am? Disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. Chosen one, the Holy One, anointed one. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So one of the, in my opinion, one of the poor ways to, the poor theology of that is to think Peter the man was the rock. That's not what Jesus was saying. He's saying the rock is your profession, your proclamation that I'm the Christ. It's non-negotiable. He's the Christ. Just one. And on this rock, he says, on this rock, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So, if the church isn't built on that foundation, it's not the church. I don't care if it comes out of a pulpit. I don't care if your professor in college says that. By the way, I told the early church, early service, parents, raise your kids well. Teach them these truths. Because they're going to, when they go off to college or get out into the workforce or whatever, they're going to be confronted with all kinds of stuff that's not true. It's just going to happen. Man, teach them to question everything with this. It doesn't matter if their favorite teacher is saying something. If it doesn't line up with this, it's not the truth of God. If a pastor is saying something that doesn't line up with this, including me, they're not from God. Teach your kid. Man, I pray for your kids. Pray for your young people. You are the Christ. And on that rock, we will build a church. That's the church. 1 Peter, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. I ran across an author. I've not read his whole book, but I've read some quotes from it, and I don't know much about this man, but I like some of his quotes from this book. His name is Trevin Wax, and one thing he says is, the church rises and falls with what the church confesses about Jesus. If we have the wrong theology on Jesus, it ain't the church. It's something else. That's not judgmental, it's foundational truth. Finally, non-negotiable, number five, we believe through Christ we are forgiven and have everlasting life. Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We understand that, I was telling the early service that if someone has committed murder and they go before a judge and the judge goes, you know, I know you, you're a pretty good guy, I know you committed murder and I know I should probably deal with that, but I'm just going to let you go. That's not justice. Nobody wants that. None of us want that. We don't want a God that's not just. But here's the problem. If all he was is just, we'd all be in trouble and I'd be at the front of the line. If he was just a just God. But guess what? He's a just and merciful God. The price for our sin has to be dealt with. It has to be paid. Ephesians 2, but because of His, God's, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Church, I'm glad He's just, but I'm more glad He's merciful, because we'd all be in trouble if He wasn't both of those things. Foundational, non-negotiable truths of God's Word. And as I said, there's many more, but those are what the Apostles' Creed leads us through every week. If you'll bow your head as the praise team comes up. Father, we thank You for these foundational truths. We thank You that You loved us enough to come and become flesh, to teach us how to walk through this life, to walk through it without sin, to walk through it with integrity, to die, to pay our price, to restore us to the Father, to reconcile us to Him. We pray, God, that the grave couldn't hold You. We pray that You and thank You that You have sent Your Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to empower us. We love You, we trust You, and we praise You. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. As we close, remember we have a baptism at the end of our closing song. Justice, you want to come on out? And family, yeah, we will. Family, you guys, come on up here. Anybody that wants to stand with Justice here? If you'll just stand on that bottom level. That's why I hold hands, because it gets... Just stand right there for just a second, then I'll have you sit in a minute. Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to get you to turn around so that they can see your pretty face right there. Okay, so we've already asked the, is everybody in, Carlene? Okay. Okay, we've already asked those questions. You've already repented of your sin. You've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Do you wish to be baptized in that faith?
Yes.
If you will sit right there, and you guys, in just a minute, I'll have you all come in a little closer. If you'll hold your nose. Just as I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Stay right there. Yes. Is it warm? If y'all, can y'all gather in here and put a hand on a shoulder, or if you can't reach her, grab somebody in front of you. Father, we love you. Thank you that you love justice, that she loves you back. Thank you that you died for her. I pray, God, that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit in the powerful name of Jesus. From the top of her head to the tip of her toes, God, that this would be, you drive a stake in the ground, this would be a brand new day, brand new creation for you. Father, bless this family. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you can make your way to the towel. Church, you have non-negotiable truths to share with the world. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Pick up your children, please. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.